Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 256, episode 4 of the Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take the deepest of dives into America's shared consciousness. It's Tuesday. Or no, I said Tuesday. I already said it. It's Thursday, September 29th. I cannot read. It's the year 2022. And that means September 29th is National Coffee Day, National VFW Day, and Urban National Wildlife Refuge Day, which to me sounds like a euphemism for when my mom lets, like, possums and raccoons into her house.
But wait, what's VFW?
Veterans of Foreign War.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, so you, okay. Like, a lot of VFW, there's, like, a lot of VFW halls. Like, you probably driven by one in your local town. If you ever parked, there's a VFW hall by the Hollywood Bowl where they have the big cannons outside where people park their cars. Look, keep your eye open for those VFW halls. I actually learned about it because of, I feel it was King of the Hill, because Hank's dad, Cotton, would always like, I gotta go to the VFW and like talk to the other like World War II dudes and say weird adjacent slurs. But anyway, all that to say, National Coffee Day, also if you celebrate, shouts to you. If you so, you're a coffee person, right?
Not no more.
Oh, not no.
It's
oh,
sad. It's sad. I can't drink coffee anymore.
Okay, but you found a suitable alternative.
Yeah, I got real into teas.
Oh yeah, like, yeah. Shout out tea.
Delicious teas of all varieties. It's getting there.
Look, we're gonna get to your favorite tea, but first we gotta get to who the fuck we are. Me, that's Miles Gray. How did I get here? You're wondering. Well, great question. It all started 7 years ago. But really, I'm Miles Gray, aka the Lord of Lankershim, Hideo Noho, and I'm thrilled to be joined by my guest co-host, the one with the mo-host. And when I say the mo-host, I mean the mo-host reputable opinions on media.
Okay.
And someone who's, look, I could say so many things, but I'm going to run out of hyphens because there's so many hyphens that's so hyphenate up in here. But please welcome to the microphone a wonderful person, podcast host, producer, media critic, and just general fantastic voice, yes. Joelle Monique!
Oh, I miss you, Miles. What's up?
I miss you too. Good to see you. I mean, I saw you at the Hollywood Bowl. We ran into each other. Right there,
we did. We concerted together. It was a magical concert too. So that
and
was
Justin,
fun.
You know, shout out Justin, the guy. Yeah. Okay. So teas, you got your. What's your favorite tea right now?
I love a white jasmine peach.
Oh,
you know, with some honey, it's really tasty. A mint tea, especially if you have just fresh mint leaves and hot water.
Wow.
It's. You
got for
transcendent.
Some reason you have tea voice right now. Like when you're talking about it, I feel it's very the vibration is
nice
tea.
And cozy.
Yes, thank you. So
I found
much.
Out the trick of how to get podcast voice is plug your headphones into your mic.
Wait, what do you mean? Before were you not
hear what you're saying, and then you could adjust,
and then you dialed it in to hear. Well,
I've been doing this for a long time, guys. It's I used to just plug them directly into the computer as a way to control. Audio output, but then I got a fancy mic and I was like, oh, you can route it all through your mic.
Yes.
Equipment matters, is what I'm saying.
Without further ado, welcome our guest. You might know her as a writer, Netflix, HBO, you know, DC. Mm-hmm. What hasn't she done? Maybe you know her from her podcasting. Maybe you know her from her exquisite social media posts. Maybe you know her as that character in the background of, was that Ralph Breaks the Internet? You said, hold on, is that Danny?
It was.
And I hate to just say the name before I introduce them, but please welcome the brilliant and talented Danny Fernandez. What's up, Danny?
Yes. Also, I was not in the background, Miles.
I'm sorry.
I literally said, hey, it's Danny Fernandez.
Danny Fernandez. She does.
I'm sorry. I meant to say that it wasn't named after you. Again, I'm still learning my proper speak.
I have my own Disney wiki. I'm on
I know.
There. It's a little intense. They have stuff about my dog. It's Danny Fernandez's family lives in San Diego. She's often posting things of her beagle mix, Molly. I'm like, whoa, okay.
Yeah. Welcome. You know, the fandom has embraced you. And honestly, I would love to one day have my own Pixar rendering of my face.
So if any of y'all work at Pixar. I will take it over WikiFeet.
You know what you should do is upload. You should, if you know anybody, to make Pixar looking feet of yours and put those on WikiFeet. They'd be like, look at Danny's feet when she was in Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Whoa.
Only kind of feet to scene. Your DMs.
Yeah. Oh, no. But yeah, what's new? What's new? You're living in LA still? Enjoying the weather?
Yeah. Here I am. Nothing. You know, I'm just working. I'm in development, which we all love and enjoy. Mm-hmm. And one of the shows I wrote on, Girls on the Bus, is coming out on HBO Max, I think next year. It's filming right now. And another show that I wrote on, also at HBO Max, called More, just announced its cast on Deadline this week. So,
nice.
You know, slowly but surely, things that I've worked on for years are starting to come out.
Yeah.
So
I never thought you were lying. When you said you're like, trust me, this stuff is coming out. I'm like, I know.
I think it's you have no idea how hard. I mean, they worked on Coco for 6 years. I would leave. I would be like, I'm too vain. I need people to know that I'm actually doing something and I'm not just, you know, because everyone's like, what are you working on? And I was like, you know, I got a script. You know, I got something.
I like the idea of you talking shit to can y'all get Coco done? Otherwise, I'm going to have to move on. I don't know if I want anything to do with this.
It's Oscar winning masterpiece. And I'm like, I just need the light. I need the Instagram likes, y'all.
Please,
I'm sorry. Give me something
now.
To upload.
Yeah.
No, it's really hard as a creator to especially with COVID, push so many projects that I was working on for years. I'm not kidding. Literally knocked it back a year or two in the slate of things. And as we're seeing a lot of changeover and mergers, which we might be talking about today, but really affects us as creators. And so I feel like I don't know, sometimes I feel like I got benched and I was watching a lot of people play, you know, getting to go back into filming and a lot of the things that I'm personally developing that I'm set to also act in and star in got kind of pushed a year or two. And that feels like a year or two of your life got put on hold. So
yeah, that's like the same thing. I remember when Joey Clift was first talking about working on Spirit Rangers and I was like, oh, dope. And he's like, in maybe 2.5 years. right.
That's
and
animation,
now we're there.
Baby.
Yeah,
that's
now
animation.
We're there. And I'm like, yeah, I remember that. All right, Danny, we're going to get to know you even more. But first, you got to let everybody know what the F we are talking about. Just got to check in with Fox News because it's time for a good old fashioned Fox Fear Fest over there with this week's villain du jour, Halloween fentanyl. Watch out, y'all. It looks like sweet tarts. Then We'll talk about how hurricanes cannot stop the hustle at one workplace in Florida. Very, very strange interaction with the boss and their employees. Then we will do I'm Glad My Mom Died, King Charles edition, just to check in with the throne there because, you know, King Chuck, his money's coming out in a little bit and we'll just the dust has settled. There's some new details. And we'll also talk about how the royal family is freaking out about the crown again, because we haven't talked about that since that little teaser dropped. But first, Danny, what is something from your search history that reveals something about you or what you're looking at?
Mutually, it would be that I looked up Try Guys and when is Mercury retrograde over?
Ooh, so
is it right now? Maybe. Are we in retrograde?
We are.
Oh, hell yeah.
Been in retrograde.
How long have you been in retrograde?
It's terrible.
We've been in retrograde since September. Yeah, since the beginning of September. Multiple planets have been in retrograde. I truly don't care if people,
nuts right now.
If people believe in it or not. It has ruined my life. it just makes communication super off. Mm. And that has effect. And transportation. And like,
does they travel was hell? Travel was hell.
Technology. And
Man, okay. Wait, what was the first one you said?
Try Guys.
Okay, this was so funny because like on Reddit, there's like a thing called Black People Twitter where this is like the best Black Twitter takes. And like one of them that was getting upvoted was like, look, y'all, I knew what a Harry Styles was. I knew what a Adam Levine was. I don't know what the fuck Ned from Try Guys is. I did two white people scandals this month. And we'll try again in October was the take. And I was like, I remember, and so many older people too, or people who didn't grow up with like in the YouTube generation were like, why is this the trending thing? And I didn't even know that they all had like their own personalities.
Apparently, I didn't know either. I learned a lot over the past 2 days on the internet. My favorite tweet of those was like, do you think this is white people's Jesus and Mero breakup? And I think it's inadequate.
Oh my like, hair.
I'm dead. I'm dead.
So funny. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You'll make your band about your wife if you plan on cheating on her. It just seems faulty. It's not a good way forward.
Yeah, well,
I love that cheaters are getting outed. Like, it's just
that's fun.
It makes me happy.
Yeah. And did you search because you knew nothing of the Try Guys? You're like, I remember it as a concept, but what the fuck?
No, I mean, I haven't really watched any of their stuff, but I was like, I don't know. I was nosy. I'm like, who, what does he look like?
Yeah.
Oh, of course he looks like that. I'm like, of course you're cheating on your wife. I bet she's 5 times prettier than you. Takes care of your children. Yeah, so I just wanted to put a name to a face. And it was hard. Somebody posted the wrong white guy, and they were like, oh, I'm fascinated to know the drama behind this man. And then they corrected them, and they were like, I don't care. I'm still going to use this guy.
No.
Fuck it. Yeah. Wow. Like, the other thing that's really interesting, like, is if you have, like, a creative group, I guess it's a bad look when one of the members embroils you in a scandal. But, like, the way they were like, yo, man, we can't move forward with him anymore.
Oh, but you know why, right?
Why? What happened?
Because the person he slept with was a member of their team, was an employee.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. See, what the fuck is wrong with people?
He messed it up twice.
Wow.
Like, his apology was crap. Like,
I'm just reading this now. This is from Ned Fulmer. So for people who don't know, we talked about it on Trending. This is a guy from the Try Guys. Do your own Googling. And he cheated on his wife. They're like, yo, we can't fuck with this guy. We've split ways with this man. Then he posted this. Family should have always been my priority, but I lost focus and had a consensual workplace relationship. I'm sorry for any pain that my actions may have caused to the guys and the fans, but to most of all, to Ariel. The only thing that matters right now is my marriage and my children, and that's where I'm going to focus my attention. Damn.
Most of all, but I'll mention you last. Sorry to fans and coworkers. Also my wife.
And most of all, sorry to that woman over there. And I'm sorry to that woman. I don't know who this is. And I'm sorry to this woman.
Oh my God.
Oh shit. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, Ned. Come on now. Overrated. Danny, what's something you think is that?
Okay. I love that this is something that Tom Hanks thinks is overrated, but I love that he said that he's only made like four pretty good movies in his career. I just love the fact that he's not taking film like too seriously. And I know he probably said it offhanded and now it's like all over like Deadline and Variety and Hollywood Reporter. And that's unfortunate. But I love the fact that here's what I think. It has to be at least Toy Story has to be in there, right? Okay, so we know at least one. We only have three left. We know Toy Story has to be in there. I'm sorry, but I'm also going to have to put Castaway. Right?
Wow. Castaway? Okay. Castaway does not make my top four Tom Hanks films.
What? He carried a film by himself.
Perhaps this is his greatest acting performance. Perhaps this is his greatest acting performance, but is it his best film? I think Road to Perdition, for me, is number one. Like, it surpasses anything else he's ever done. It's so dark and dreamy and devastating. I love Road to Perdition. I would agree with you with Toy Story. And then I think, is it Philadelphia Story or just Philadelphia?
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia has to be on there. He nails it.
Yeah, that's like his, probably one of his most, like, in terms of powerful acting, that was definitely one where I was like, the guy from Joe versus Volcano? Like, I remember as a kid going to see it, and that shit was heavy. But like my parents were never like shying away from shit because like the subject matter. And I was like, oh, my God, what the fuck is going on in Philadelphia? And there's like, it's not just Philadelphia. But yeah,
you're
going
to hate my other one that's on there because I had to put a rom-com because he's the king. Like he was the king.
No, we love
that
rom-com.
Time.
Yeah.
And this is, I think, one of the most, the reason why I put this is I think it's one of the most iconic rom-coms. And it's probably not the one that people normally pick for him. But I got to go with You've Got Mail.
Hey!
I got to go with You've Got Mail. It is one of the best rom-coms. So I'm sorry. That's the one that I picked.
I love You've Got Mail.
You've Got Mail is a great suggestion.
Yeah, I knew you. I like how you went. You thought we were going to Seattle. Hell nah.
No.
No.
Also, he's not even with her mostly in that. And it's weird. Film. I'm sorry. Yeah. The end is weird. It weirds me out.
I just love F-O-X. He's like, what? Fox Books? Yes, you know how to spell Fox. Man, don't make it hot for me.
My fourth is That Thing You Do. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
That movie is everything to me. He's not
now,
in
is that
it a
more
lot,
of an ensemble? Is that more of an ensemble cast that is giving us the energy? Can we call that a Tom
movie.
Hanks?
Is and it his did... best performance? No. Is it a great movie? Yes.
Absolutely. Maybe, but yeah, I would say maybe his best film.
And he directed it and wrote it. So he was pulling a lot of strings and the movie is so good.
So then when he says I've only made four pretty good films, then I will count That Thing You Do, because isn't his whole thing like Playtone? Like, wasn't the name of his production company is Playtone now, based after Playtone Records from That Thing You Do. Okay. Mm. Call me Spartacus. I've been there. A League of Their Own. Does that rank for anybody?
Oh, shit. Okay. Listen, he rolls deep. I think he's off on four. You've made many a great film, Tom Hanks.
I've only made four good things and one of them is not Chet.
Yeah. Oh, did you see him at that fucking weird Christian event he did?
No.
Yo, this dude, he's in trouble, man. He was like pacing the stage at like a religious event. And he's like, you know, I want to talk about how I was saved. And I'm not going to talk about some bullshit. And he's like being really, he's swearing. Intense. And like this dude not comes right up. He's like, yo, this is a family event, man. Yeah. Like tone that down. He goes, I don't give a fuck. Oh, he's like, what you going to do? Come up here? That's what I thought. And he's like, okay. And then he like realizes where he's at.
Saved,
he's like,
sir?
That's and he's like, and I'm sorry that I am cursing at you, but, and if you are offended, just please take your kids away, but I don't give a fuck. And you're like, oh, yikes. boy. I'm trying to think of another one that's also.
Oh, Forrest Gump, I feel like is his Oscar, I mean, Academy Award winning. I don't know. Might be.
Forrest Gump is a, like, one of those films that you, at the time, you're like, yeah, that made me feel good. And then you watch it again, you're like, this is all
this
wrong.
This never needs to be, yeah.
It's such
I
a
feel like he, I feel like he would probably put that on there, but also I
it
don't know
It is the
him.
Movie that made him the most money, I think.
Right.
Because he had some kind of, he invested a bunch of money up front because the studio didn't believe in the movie. Mm. So he got a shit ton of points on the back end.
Damn.
He made a lot of money off of that movie.
Yeah. And Cloud Atlas. I won't forget Cloud Atlas. I think.
Wow. Bold choices.
People are going to write us. They're going to be so mad. We had a platform and this is
Cloud
what we
Atlas.
Did with it.
Cloud Atlas. His hair in the Da Vinci Code. Not him in the Da Vinci Code. His hair
just
in the Da Vinci
hair.
Code. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. His wardrobe and Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah.
His accent in Elvis.
Oh, man. Yes. The accent has to walk.
Right. Because then you can take away things that just bring you joy. That's the other thing is like, I'm not his whole energy or the draw to him isn't that he's making the best films all the time. It's like, look at this dude who seems really kind.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
He just
got big uncle energy. Anyway, Danny, what's something you think is underrated?
Y'all are going to laugh.
Please.
Oh, wait. Underrated. I put this as over. Oh, okay.
You want to hit me with another overrated?
I think, is being like older, not older, but like, I think a lot of people overrate your youth. When I think of my youth, which I guess I'm still technically in, like to veterans in our business, but like when I actually think of my youth, it's very like your college days or whatever. Mm-hmm. You're heartbroken most of the time. The people you're having sex with are probably just okay at it. You're broke. You're not advanced enough in your career. Like you don't have enough of a resume to actually like do anything that you actually want to do. So I think like all I see on Twitter and TikTok is like a lot of like age shaming constantly. And I'm like, actually, I think everyone's like afraid to not be in their 20s anymore. And I'm like, actually, you technically normally have more money. You're a little bit wiser. Your dating life hopefully is better. At least you have better boundaries and worth.
Right.
And yeah, so
you're more secure in the identity of you. Hopefully you have better, stronger friend networks. Hopefully you've worked out whatever crap was going on with you and your parents. Like there's a lot of stuff you get over like past your 20s. It's so much more beautiful on the other side of 29. It was weird to me as I was turning 30. I'm like, why are people upset about this? It's weird.
Right.
Were people upset for you when you're like, no, I'm actually, this is like the best I've been in my career.
I remember I was out with Her Majesty. We were traveling somewhere and it was her birthday. And we were with this like, we had like talked to this young couple at a bar and they were like in their early 20s. You could tell they were young as fuck because they were like we just met on Tinder and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, look at y'all. And they're like, I'm 22. And we're like, and I was like, they're like, why are you? And I'm like, oh, it's her birthday. And they're like, oh, how old did you turn? This was like when she turned 30. She's like, oh, 30. And they said, the girl and the couple said, oh, that's okay.
No. I still lived to reach this age. Thank you, children.
She said it so sincerely. Okay. She said it so sincerely. She's like, that's okay. Girl. That's okay. Like, what the fuck? But yeah, it's true. We were just talking about this with Dramos when he was on, is how much, like, I would say I spent most of my 20s avoiding living. Truly avoiding feeling, avoiding like reckonings that would really make my life better. And then as you get older and those things happen, you're like, shit, man, I'll take this shit every day over, you know, the chaos of my youth. I'm still young, but you know,
we're all still young,
my naive time. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
For sure.
Evolved youth.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll just talk about some spooky stuff since Halloween's around the corner. I guess by a month, whatever. Deal with it. We'll be right back. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and it's time for a good old-fashioned, like I said, Fox Fear Fest, because the GOP is currently in an identity crisis heading into the midterms. This week, there are just so many stories of, like, journalists looking at candidate pages for Republicans going into the midterms. Everybody's scrubbing their forced birth beliefs all of a sudden. You're not going to see anything about that on there, although I do believe it, but on my website, it is gone. Donald Trump, never heard of him. Don't even do a command F on this page because you won't find Trump at all. OK, that's just because I totally get it. His stock is plummeting with independents. And that's why right now they're like really confused. What are they to do? All the xenophobia and misogyny is working against them. So what now? And I think they've gone back to their good friend, the fentanyl freakouts. Kevin McCarthy earlier promised, like, as a way to be like, you know, when we take back the House, kids are not going to have to worry about their kids' eight balls having fentanyl in it because we will secure the border. And everyone's like, wait, I'm sorry, what? That the take here is that the drug war that you're always against is now that, like, hey, drug users can rejoice in the safety of the drugs that they're consuming because of draconian border policy. Whatever. Fine. And then there is this whole commitment to America pledge they keep talking about, where it's like, you know, the commitment to America, it's not really an agenda that they have. It's not even fully formed. It's just a buzzword. Like, there's no real text to it, that at least that I've seen, that makes any kind of sense. So the fentanyl panic continued on Fox, where they had an all-star team of absolute knobs deciding to give their take to freak out the viewers at home. So first, I just want to, the first part is them just being like, oh, fucking trick or treat is going to ruin your fucking life. So let's first check in with Jeanine Pirro and Jesse Waters. Just first kicking off how this is relevant to the Halloween period and why that is extra spooky.
Masks and gloves, and then they pill it up in plastic and then they distribute it. It's very hard to detect.
You know, Dana, I mean, young children now going out to trick or treat. I mean, basically, parents have a decision to make. Mm-hmm. You don't let your kids get that candy. Yeah. It doesn't mean the person giving it out is intending to harm.
You throw away all the nerds and the sweet tarts.
Yeah.
That's the end of it, Jesse.
There's not going to be massive Halloween parading. There's going to be small groups with families that we know we're going to do this in our backyard and that's how, or in our basement.
Sounds
and that's
like
how
the pandemic.
We're going to do it. I don't understand. So.
What? Oh, okay. Okay. First of all, mm-hmm. don't. As a former fat kid, like, give the children their sweet tarts, okay? Let them live.
Yeah, and they, I don't know drugs
no
that look like nerds.
Their fentanyl. Like, that's just not a thing that's going to happen.
No. Well, this happens every year, right? This is always a conservative freak out during Halloween. Last year it was mostly edibles again because, like, states mm-hmm. were legalizing weed. And they're like, they're going to fucking get your kids high. And every person who's ever used drugs is like, I will not give my drugs away for free. Also, I'm not interested in pranking kids. Also, people who are fucked up probably aren't trying to be involved with trick-or-treating anyway.
Yeah, my house is not open for trick-or-treaters. The lights are off. Next door, please.
Exactly. I'm in my room melting watching Hocus Pocus.
I actually looked this up, and there have been no cases of strangers killing or permanently injuring children that has been proven.
Yeah.
And so it turns out, so this story, like you said, appears in the media every year, and the actual cause of death, whenever this shows up, has been shown that these children did not die from eating candy given to them by strangers. However, in rare cases, adult family members have spread this story in an effort to cover up murder or accidental death. So in 1970, it started. There was a 5-year-old boy in Detroit who died after eating his uncle's heroin. The family attempted to protect the uncle by claiming the drug had been sprinkled in the child's Halloween candy.
Then there was
another instance in 1974. So this was like as the start, the 70s, 80s, and 90s was when this was really, and obviously is still today. Right. In 1974, there was an 8-year-old Timothy O'Brien from Texas who died after eating cyanide laced package of pixie sticks. Turns out it was his father who was trying to kill him and claim life insurance.
So
it's never been.
Yo.
It's never been. I know it's terrifying. And then I have one other thing is I looked up the razor blade myth. Right.
Yeah, because that was a big one in the 80s. Yeah. In the early 90s.
And so it turns out that advice, you know, Ask Ann Landers or Dear Abby, that people were writing into them. And so Anne said, in recent years, there have been reports of people with twisted minds putting razor blades and poison in taffy apples and Halloween candy. It is no longer safe to let your child eat treats that come from strangers. This was in 1995. Yeah. So that's how, like, putting that publication in something that people read, that this kind of took off.
Yeah.
Wow.
And this is all, again, like, remember, this is all part of the conservative agenda, which is to put people in such a, like, zone of fear and distrust and mistrust of the people around you that their, like, autocratic fascist agenda is the only thing that will feel like an antidote to any of this, right? Because it's like, I mean, my kids can't trick or treat because they got rainbow fentanyl and they're telling my kids what trans means and all that. I don't know. This is not the world I want to live in. Please, someone come and brutalize all these people.
Yeah.
And, you know, the DEA, like, also responded. They were, like, unequivocal. They're just like, look, bro, we're the fucking feds, and we love a drug war, honey. We do. But we have not found any connection to drug imports and Halloween murder campaigns or thematically colored fucking fentanyl to kill kids. Jesse Waters tried to also really make it, like, the whole other point of this sort of segment was to also just kind of keep slamming Biden, because, like, the whole underpinnings of this is, like, our kids are dying, they're being murdered by China, and we have to stop it. And this is the thing where Jeanine Pirro was like, well, it's coming from China. This is like they're declaring a war on us, trying to murder our people. What are we supposed to do? Jesse Waters really came through with his, you know, if I was Joe Biden, let me tell you what I would do. It's not a good idea.
He could launch a cyber attack on the Chinese. That's what I would do. If they're going to declare a drug war in America, I'd launch a cyber attack because that's how serious it is. You can make so much money off of fentanyl on the street. You get a kilo of fentanyl, $4,000 wholesale.
Wait,
on the street, you could make $1.2 million. Cocaine, heroin, meth, you can't even make close to that on the street. And you can't train.
Okay, I'm sorry. You've been hanging with Matt Gaetz? The fuck was that?
How did he go from being like, we need to cyber attack China to, I have a plan to sell drugs illegally in these streets because guess what? They make a ton of money.
You suddenly became the Nino Brown of Fox News right there. And be like, man, you're not making the same cuts on heroin or cocaine. You could 3X that shit with fentanyl
really
wholesale, though. what the fuck? Okay, so then to make this even more absurd, Sharon Osbourne is on this panel. Fucking Sharon Osbourne. I know she was ousted from the woke ass View or whatever, but Jeanine Pirro, just trying to wrap this segment up, is suddenly like, and what about you over there, England? What's your, can you also add to this to give this segment a little international flavor of ignorance? And here is, nobody asked Sharon Osbourne about her take on it, but I guess here's Sharon Osbourne.
You know, Sharon, China does not have a drug problem. I understand.
No, because they're too busy sending it to the Western world.
No, because their punishment is death.
It's
I like how they fucked up their like their propaganda improv at the beginning. And you know, in China, you know why it's not a problem over there. She's like, yeah, because they sent it over here. She's like, no, girl, remember, we're trying to say Chinese people, they kill the drug dealers.
Right. Because they put them to death. That's right, Janine. I am good at this. They go on to, I don't know, keep pushing this point.
Literally. And so what's going on in the UK?
Literally.
It's at the UK, too. You have people selling it to school kids that wait outside schools. It's everywhere there, too. But the thing is, these people who are caught selling it should be put in jail for life. They should be sent away for life, because when you're a dealer, you are killing people. So,
oh my
those
God.
Are not this, the same things by definition of the law.
This is such low energy propaganda. Like, I can't handle it. I mean, they should go to jail for their life, because when you are a drug dealer, you are a desperate person with no other financial means or ways to generate. Wait, no, that's a sympathetic view of what a drug dealer is. They are killers. They're murderers.
Yeah.
Also, did y'all have anyone ever proposition you at school? Like, I wish.
Fuck no.
I wish someone came up.
If I'm gonna be real, it was me. I was the one propositioning your ass.
100% trying to get people to buy us beer.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't outside the school, motherfucker. I was in the classroom with them. I'm like, hey, what's up? What you need, man? Oh, yeah, I got that. Yeah. By the Honda. Yeah, the other one, though. By the homies. Yeah. 330? Okay. That's how it's done, Sharon. Have me on your show and let you know how these kids don't, nothing is like the fucking DARE program from 40 years ago. That's probably the first time you heard about street drugs.
Especially at the schools your kids are attending, ma'am. Okay.
Yeah. Especially. You want to talk about private schools in LA?
Stop it. Ridiculous.
Start beatboxing.
Okay, I did want to say before anyone writes me about the Halloween candy thing that there was one dentist in 1959 who hand out chocolate covered laxatives as a joke.
Okay.
And like 30 kids had a really rough night.
No.
Yeah.
So that was one incident in 1959. I don't know why. Dentists don't have the best sense of humor.
We're not. Did you see that one video on the internet where the dentist was trying to get the syringe from the assistant while they were doing someone, and the guy was trying thought they were trying to make the hand heart to complete it?
Like,
and the doctor's like, stop that shit.
We're at work. Okay. Yeah.
He's like, I'm trying to fucking fill your fucking cavity. Knock this shit off. Anyway. Well, let's move on from the scariness of a manufactured like fentanyl propaganda thing to the scariness of capitalism and hustle culture. Hurricane Ian at present, I know, is in the midst of touching down in Florida. And if you are in the area, but please be safe. My thoughts are with you. So far, it has left Cuba without power and two fatalities. In Florida, again, officials have warned people of the severity of the storm and encouraged many to evacuate. Since once the storm hits emergency vehicles, they can't go to get them. So they're like, "Yo, this isn't a fucking joke." So in Clearwater, they declared a state of emergency Tuesday, and Pinellas County began issuing evacuation orders Monday. And most people have been focused on the safety of their loved ones, but at Postcard Mania, a postcard marketing company in Clearwater, Florida, the concern is apparently on never stopping the fucking grizzind. The CEO of the Clearwater-based company has been telling employees to come in because we got money to make, child. This is what the CEO was like saying on a Zoom call to employees on Monday. Quote, if you want to leave your home and you're being told to leave your home and you feel like you should and you have no place to go, Postcard Mania is probably the safest place to be in Florida, CEO Joy Gendusa told employees on Monday, and then said, anyway, bring your pets, bring your kids, bring everybody to PCM. Obviously, you feeling safe and comfortable is of the utmost importance, but I honestly want to continue to deliver and I want to have a good end of quarter. And when the hurricane turns into nothing, I don't want it to be like, great, we all stopped producing because of the media and that maybe it was just going to be terrible.
Joy is a capitalist and she wants everyone to know that she's part of the machine and happy to be a cog in it. Girl, what?
Are you going to be there?
F
Joy, will you be there at PCM, at Postcard Mania? No. I flew up to Boston.
Mm. I love that they put PCM was built to withstand Category 5 winds.
Yeah. This is so what's wild. The insistence, right, is that, yeah, it's like her going, it's probably going to be nothing. No, it just killed two Cuban people, okay? And they're warning of the terrible storm surge that's coming. And they point to this 69,000 square foot campus that they really feel is safe. So these text messages that we're saying that Danny's talking about, these were texts that were actually sent to employees from their business. PCM, Postcard Mania, was built to withstand Cat 5 winds. We would like to continue to service our national clients if we can. Bring your kids to work on Tuesday and Wednesday this week. Next text. We will have movies and fun. I think it's a camera emoji, balloon emoji for them. Cool. Then Pennywise from the CEO. What?
What's it? Pennywise will be here. Perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Then the next one is this text says, from Joy. I've lived here for over 30 years. There's always more hype in the media than any storm that has ever hit here. Postcard Mania is the best place to be. It's super strong. Bring your pets if you feel the need. The misspelled is T-E-H. If you feel te need, I doubt in the end you will really need to. We are not closing. We are working. We'll make it super fun for the kids. See you at staff meeting.
Oh, my gosh.
Here's several things. I bet you guys don't know what kids do for fun. OK, you give them an iPad and whatever game system they're having and they're good. OK, yeah. They don't need light and some food. Throw some snacks in there. The kids are fine. But I also just can't imagine the hubris it must take to be like, yeah, I know the entire town is leaving because a governmental body said, yo, it's unsafe here. But I'm just going to go ahead and demand that you come to work.
I mean, we want to finish the...
I thought she was starting out sly, where like every employer that we've had would say something like that. Like, you know, if you feel the need to come into work, obviously, I don't want to stop you.
Yeah.
So like, you know, you're safe here. If your home floods, you know, you have a place with us. We are your family.
Right.
You know,
right.
They always use that line. Mm-hmm. But, and so I was like, man, that's really sly. Like you wouldn't, you know, you couldn't use that against her. But then to be like, and I want to finish quarter strong. Like just completely gave that away.
Also, when you say I want to continue to produce, like
that is
whoa.
So sadistic.
And I hate that we all stopped producing because of the media and the maybe that it was going to be terrible. Like that sounds like a company that is about to fold.
I was thinking, do you think it's like, oh, we got Christmas rush, and if these sayings aren't on point, Hallmark is going to beat us for the 57th quarter in a row.
It's a postcard marketing thing. So I feel like it's like they make more like postcards that you can use as marketing stuff.
Yeah.
Like for your business. Like, you know, when you go to Bird's next to UCB and they got those two little girls, that little girl giving the finger on the postcard.
Huh.
Yeah. Okay, just something to think. They're like a direct mail thing. It makes sense because direct mail, I feel like it's like already so intrusive that your boss at a direct marketing thing would be like, hey, man, you got to come in, man. It's like, you just got to keep these numbers churning. But the great thing to see, or just tragic, is once these posts went public and went viral and people's outrage started hitting the CEO's inbox, this is what she said now. Quote, I know this has been a stressful time, and I want to apologize to anyone who received our text message and felt that it came across as insensitive. That text did not accurately reflect how seriously we were taking this storm and everyone's safety, and I regret that it was sent without better judgment. We never intended to make people feel like they had to come into work when they need to evacuate or take other hurricane precautions.
Oh my
Words
God.
Don't mean things.
No, come quite in. Literally. You said we
come
never...
in, bring your children.
Okay, how does it feel like when you say, we never intended to make people feel like that, and be like, we're open. I'll see y'all at the staff meeting. Bring your motherfucking kids. I don't give a fuck. Okay, wasn't that aggressive? But yeah, movies and fun for them. Like, honestly, no. Like, to your point, Joelle, like, I know how, like, you know how to get kids to just zone out. It's called fucking games and iPads and shit.
Especially in Florida where storms happen. All the kids know the drill. Is we getting in the car or are we batting down the hatches? We got our sandbags and our iPads and like external batteries and we're good.
Right.
I just, you, the gall, because I know there was nothing in there. Like, for somebody who's had to organize safety for people before, there's no additional checks. It's not like we're going to have food, like send us your dietary restrictions. It's not.
Yeah, right.
If we have to huddle in here for 5 days, these are our safety coordinators. And the state knows where we are in case we need to be evacuated at a later. Right. Like, there's no additional kind of information about how we're going to keep you safe.
Nah.
It's just F this storm, come to work, which is bananas. And I hope there's just a mass quitting after this, just a giant exodus of people. And
in this Vice article, that like was telling the story, they were talking to other employees and people were like, yo, this place is trash. And honestly, that fucking email was all I had to do to speed up my fucking job search for the next thing. I was already planning on leaving in a month, but now I got to get the fuck out now.
It's so
Can you imagine risking your life for postcard mania? Like,
dude, I can't. There's nothing like family is really the only thing. Like, risking my life when you're saying it like that, it wouldn't be weed. It wouldn't be video games. Uh-uh. Damn, should not be my job.
No.
Wow. Anyway, so
it must be so hard having someone so dumb as your boss. Like, it's just the American.
Ain't that the truth?
It's the American way. It's like the person at the top is always the dumbest person. And it just.
Every American workplace is everybody who is the position beneath, like, the head of the, like, the company being, like, scratching their head, being like, this person is so fucking off their shit. Like, they're not even close to reality. Mm-hmm. Why do they keep riding that Segway around the fucking office? It's fucking stupid. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back to dish on the royals right after this. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Thank you. And we're back. And it's not just Jeanette McCurdy who's glad their mom died. King Charles also, because now he's the king. And now that the official period of mourning has passed for Libby II, it's time to see what has happened now that the dust has settled. Just kind of quick things to touch on. His face will be on banknotes and coins starting in the middle of 2024. So get ready for that.
Does he get to choose youth? It has to be this one, right? Yeah. His current, because that's when he was named king. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Something with my regal visage upon it.
No, I would not want, I would want like my 22-year-old face or something on this, not where he's at now. He looks like someone put him in the microwave for a couple seconds.
Do you think if he was in a, if he was in a Pixar movie, he could be like, yo, actually, could you put my Pixar rendering as my fucking thing?
Shut the fuck up.
That would be wild. I'm just saying, like, if you had the power.
I thought you were going to go with like the Monsters, Inc. like
no,
CEO.
I'm just saying, if you had, you got the clout as king. And just
I'm
to
just
be
saying,
weird
if you're going to be on money, I would want to look good. What's the point of being rich? And being on money, like,
but I think Danny, you would feel a little gross if your face was on money, like real, like you as the person that you are. I think you would want to have fun. I know you also have a sense of humor, and I feel like you would maybe lean into the humor of it more than like, no, this is I'm gonna look my.
I'm
my
just
best
saying, all of our presidents that are on money was at the end of their life. I know for Abraham Lincoln it was, but yeah. For all the other presidents, was it the end of their life that was snapshot and put on that bill, or was it when they first, you know, like I'm just saying he. I'm just saying he doesn't look great, okay? Yeah.
How does Andrew Jackson look the healthiest when he was one of the most evil motherfuckers, too? And like, you should look more like shit, dude. But
so do they always have to do this? I don't pay attention to the British. Do they always have to change the money when
they
she
must.
Not going to be
mean,
on anything else anymore?
Do.
Yeah, I think yeah. Like the Canadian dollar, if I remember correctly, like Elizabeth looks younger on that money.
Right, and that's why like Australians are like, we want Crocodile Hunter instead, Mr. Irwin. And rather than fucking the queen on
that's
our
such a waste. Do they retire though? Like, I'm sorry, I'm fascinated by this, but that's such a waste. Like, we don't. Do they just like take out all those all the ones with her face and they're not?
I don't know
in
if they're like melting
anymore?
Them down or restamping them, or I'm not sure how it.
Yeah,
works.
Let UK Zeitgang, let us know what happens to all that. Oh, here we go. Here's an article. What happens to the banknotes featuring the revered monarch? Yeah, just I think they just start circulating it out. It's kind of like when you get new 20s and shit. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes you're like, oh shit, you got one of these old 20s? Okay, drug dealer. See, you're not interacting with banks and shit.
I got a $2 bill and I thought it was so cool, but I tried to use it to buy a lottery ticket and it rejected it.
What? Oh, like in a machine?
Yeah. Yeah, machines okay, that don't makes take sense, $2
I'm
bills.
Like, this is legal tender. So
exactly. This is illegal.
Take this money. Make this money. Ain't no way you could take this from me. Anyway, shout out Bad Boy Records. This is another thing I do want to touch on. The royal family's website, just so you notice.
Let's see here.
Our homies have been demoted. Okay. So when you go to the royal family page on the royal.uk, you say, okay, here we go. Members of the royal family. You got obviously the king and them got their own shit. Then we got the Princess of Wales. Oh, wait, hold on. Let me. Their framing is terrible on this page. Oh my God, who designed this website? Let me get it so it's actually stacking. There we go. So in order.
Here we go.
The king, the queen consort, the prince of Wales, the princess of Wales, the earl of
Wessex.
Okay, who is he? Okay, well, who's this other? Oh, the countess of Wessex? Okay.
I've seen her around.
Oh shit, is that, who is that? Is that Hugh Jackman in Logan? Oh no, that's queen, the queen's sister. Yo, her hair. I'm not. Tell me that doesn't look like Wolverine hair.
No, it do. It do.
Okay,
it
do. And I'm sorry. No disrespect to the princess royal.
Walking.
So that's how many. Vibes.
That's where else we're at. We're at the princess royal. We passed Logan. Now we're at the Duke of Gloucester. Now we got the Duchess.
Which one of
Gloucester.
Those white men? They put eight
know.
White men up, and they were like,
"Oh, I think it's this dude in the corner
where he's cut off."
Yeah, look, I told you the framing. Whoever did the UX on this is or UI. I don't know. I'm not into web design. Do better. Then you get the Duchess of Gloucester. Then we get the Duke of Kent. Where the fuck is Harry and Meghan? Then we got the Princess Alexandra. Hello, where are you? Oh, shit. There we go. The Duke of Sussex. Oh, there we go. The Duchess of Sussex. And in bottom, Prince Andrew.
Duke of York.
They moved Harry and Meghan's ass all the way to the fucking bottom.
You know what's funny? This is a petty move. Like, blocking someone that's actually a blessing, right? Like, if someone I loathe blocks me, that's amazing. I don't have to see your face anywhere on my casual streets. What a blessing. Like, you think you're hurting me, but this is so wonderful. I feel the same way here. People who are ever going to visit this website and take a look at it, you should be thinking about them last anyway. Don't be checking in on them. Don't talk to them. You're, 'cause either you came here for Meghan and Harry, or you came for these other folks.
Right.
And most likely it's these other folks. So yeah, put them at the bottom. Get them out of everybody else's mind so they can leave
you're Harry and Meghan,
alone.
Yeah, you're like, good. I'm glad I'm at the bottom of your dusty ass website. Fucking sucks. You can't even look at that shit on mobile.
Do not want to be anywhere near you. You can't sign a document without having a hissy fit. And you're not even running this country. Like, you're not. You're just a figurehead.
Well, they say this is the intentional move by racist King Grandpa. Because since they want to be all woke and shit and not, you know, keep their distance from the royal family, okay, then you can be with the worst of them, Prince Andrew.
I hate that you married a beautiful woman and I lost one, like an idiot. Oh, it sucks.
You might win some, but you just lost one. And finally, this one really rubbed me the wrong way. I don't know why, but Prince George, William's son, Prince William's son, is out here flexing on his classmates, saying, quote, "My father will be king, so you better watch out," end quote. This is from Royal Reporters. Now, they're saying he's just being cheeky and a young man. No, he's not. I've had motherfuckers say shit like this to me to my face as a kid. We've all been around some kids like, "My dad's a cop. My dad's a lawyer. You better shut the fuck up, man." See, and now I'm like, oh, so this Prince, you see a tough guy now, huh? Because your dad's the king, I think.
Oh my God, him and his Draco Malfoy ass. He's the epitome of like O'Doyle rules. Like, right? I know this kid. We all have dealt with this kid.
Right.
We've all dealt with like the richest kid in class.
What's weird is like we know how his dad was in high school, which is similar to this.
Is that how William was too?
Yeah, you know, he was all brolic. He was like, plus William was a teen heartthrob, lest we forget. Children, if you only know William by his looks now, go ahead and take a peek around 96 when he was your age and you would be like, holy crap. And so yeah, he was out here flaunting it, cheating on Kate back then. Like, I mean, this is not at all, he's a wealthy white kid whose family thinks they run a country. Like,
yeah,
of course he's gonna have this kind of inflated ego and disconnect from, you know, regular people.
I read that shit and I go, oh man, he's getting bullied. They bullying him for that. Like, that's like snitching. You know what I mean? Like, if you said, I don't know why, like, this was just kind of the thing. Like, the kids that would say shit like that were like the most insecure kids, obviously, because they have to be like, I'm bolstering my identity vis-a-vis my connection to this external thing, my dad or parent who is a lawyer. And then, but they would always be like bullying you about shit. I don't know. This reminds me of somebody very specifically. I'm not going to drop names, but they would always talk about their parent doing this. I'm like, bro, I'm here right now in your face.
Now what?
Do something. Now give me your Lunchables.
Oh, man. Or they'll get the other kind of treatment, which is adored to their face, but just smoked behind their back.
Right.
You know, which is, I think it's much more painful because then the delusion is built around them so that they don't know it until they're actually face to face with it.
I mean, that's a tall order to be raised in like a royal family. And like, literally you're like, and daddy's going to be king. You're like in the weird TV shit I watch. Oh, that's cool. Watch me be unrelatable.
Also, like your whole entire family, like the stuff that the insults people can use against you, it's like your whole entire family's in a tabloid, like their business. Your dad cheating on your mom is like constantly
with her best friend.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They're like, oh yeah, people
again,
love your aunt.
Try guys.
Yeah.
Goes back. Right. You are you look like a thumb. You are a 3 and you're with a 10. Although I've heard that she's not very nice either. So I'm just a Harry and Meghan.
Who could be after this? Could you imagine? One day I'm just a girl at school who literally falls in love with a prince. Literally falls, like lived the fairy tale at a young age. Went through hell with that just from a like first love standpoint. Gets married. It's called like held up to crazy high standards. Of like, oh, it's the most beautiful bride. And it's like the first royal wedding in forever. And then everyone turns on you, including your husband. And you have no friends inside. What a miserable
existence. Wait, are you talking about Princess Diana or Prince King? Because these are the same stories.
They have the similar trajectories.
Wait, who are you talking about there? Kate?
I was talking about Kate, but they do have similar early life trajectories.
Yeah, I was like, wait, I hope you know that obviously, like, I feel every black and brown person is a Princess Diana fan.
Of course.
Well, it's funny.
Princess D.
And then for Kate to be like, and then at your wedding, everyone's talking about your sister's butt. Mm-hmm. And that's what it was. Wasn't mm-hmm. that her sister? What's the
it
sister's
was
name?
Pippa.
Pippa.
Pippa. What's your name?
Wasn't that like, I remember that was like the meme from that wedding was like, and Pippa, get out the way, y'all. Where's
Because she was the next one to get married. They're like, oh, she's old news now. She's married. Who gives a fuck? Who's next?
Well, I want to keep kind of checking in with them because the Netflix, they released a teaser for the new season of The Crown, and it's all about Charles and Diana's divorce. And I guess the real royal family, they're freaking out because they are worried everyone is going to realize that Charles fucking sucks. I don't know. Maybe that's where they find out for the first time.
But you know what? It will introduce an entire new generation to the scandal in a way that us simply telling them about it cannot. Like,
oh, the TikTok discourse alone, you know, bring it straight into my veins when I watch these kids lap this up and be like,
well, look at the how they clamored to both Princess Diana movies. And we already have like Princess Diana. What do they call those fan videos
that
they make?
Fan cams.
Fan cams. Yeah. Yes. Those things.
Yeah.
I love however they frame it. It'll always be like, did you know that Prince Harry's dad is actually also a king? And that he... they always do it like that.
Okay, here's the deal. They're like, this is Sofia Coppola. This is Nicolas Cage. This is Francis Ford Coppola. This is Jason Schwartzman. Here's the deal. They're all in the same family, like wild zooms. And we're like, yeah, we've been on.
We've been new, but it's cute. I told my parents, I was like, yo, you guys hear this really old band named Queen? And they were like, sweet baby child.
Yeah, they're like, oh,
no. Go sit down. I was a 9-year-old little girl. I was at my first run-in with Freddie Mercury. I was like, they're just band Queen. They're amazing. We're like, we're aware.
I know. That was me when Wayne's World came out. And I'm like, yo, we got to get the soundtrack for this one song. And they're like, what? And I played it. They're like, motherfucker, are you for? We have this album. I'm like, we just bought this old dusty cassette tape. Anyway, so now the family has really planned. Apparently, they have some sort of like plan to protect his reputation. I have no idea. Yeah, like, do you have a time machine to do that? That seems like an effective way. And now, the one thing that we've learned is since the queen passed away, she actually watched The Crown.
That's we can put wild.
That, yeah. That's her wild. Like biographer or someone said that the queen had a habit of settling in to watch the Netflix series on Sundays.
What
did she think of the Olivia Colman years? What did she think about the early relationship with, because those early, like really like past, right as she's getting married and crowned, like that shit was bananas cruel. So much stuff happened.
And and they say Charles might be too, because apparently at an event, he did like came up to a group of people and introduced himself and he said, hello, quote, this is a quote, apparently. He said, hello, nice to meet you. I'm nowhere near how they portray me on Netflix.
This is all they have to worry about, though, is the reputation. So I guess.
Exactly. Look, that's how Vecna introduces himself at parties too. So you're in good company. So I don't know what this plan is exactly, because there's nothing really you can do except for, I don't know, just seed stories like in the paper. Mm-hmm. But like in 2020, the UK culture secretary tried to add a health warning to the show, being like, hey, this is fictional, just so y'all know. And then last November, the royal family had sought legal advice for how to deal with the show. But at the time, it would be like for a potential libel case for the queen. But now that she is, you know, she's in the ether, maybe there's no case there. But just an interesting sidebar from our writer, JM, like, you know, like when you read all these things, like, or when you watch a historical drama or whatever, like, even if it is historical, they'll always be like, this is a work of fiction. Any similarity to actual persons living or dead or actual events is purely coincidental. That came about because of a lawsuit involving a royal family, specifically the exiled Russian prince who had murdered Rasputin. He sued MGM. But his wife actually sued MGM after they made a Rasputin film, because in the film, the prince was like, yes, I admitted to killing Rasputin. But his wife's character was sexually assaulted by Rasputin in the film, which didn't happen in real life. And MGM was like, yo, you're adding this like salacious thing in there that is completely inaccurate. And when they were warned of the, quote, factual discrepancy, they fired the woman who was doing the research.
Whoa.
Okay.
Yeah. And then so the prince's wife won the lawsuit, and a judge was basically like, you should add a disclaimer to the movie. And eventually all movies started doing similar things just to avoid litigation. So shit is wild and never ending. I do want to talk about one thing, though, while we're still here, because we do have time. Rather, I'm going to make time.
Speaking of upcoming projects, we were just before we started recording, we saw the headline about the upcoming Blade film, which I am very, very excited about. And apparently that Mahershala Ali, who is playing Blade, Academy Award winner, is unhappy with the script. I just want to put that out here, as I know we're various fans for various reasons, but what the do you think the script is that bad? Like, how bad does a film have to be for the actor to be like, yo, man, shit is fucking...
Well, they lost their director, Bassam Tariq, a month before shooting. It's not good. The rumor is just that apparently there's two fight scenes. It's not really connected. People feel Kevin is not there enough, for whatever that means. Kevin's running an entire studio. I don't know how much he's visiting each individual project.
Right.
So yeah, I hope they figure it out. Mahershala Ali is an Oscar winner. This is his first really big project post that Oscar.
Hell yeah.
We've seen what happens to great Black Oscar winners who enter superhero movies with terrible scripts and not great direction. We don't need a Halle Berry repeat, okay? She deserved better. Mahershala deserves better.
Yeah.
It's Blade. Like, come on. It's going to be so sick if you get it right. So I just hope they bring in a new writer, Franklin Leonard, who I know has been on the show before and created The Blacklist, said, I have no stake or influence over this process, but I would love to see what Gina Price Blythewood would do with it. She just did The Woman King, so
yeah,
maybe Marvel's listening.
Please listen.
Who's
please.
Writing the script now?
I don't know who the writer is on Blade.
I think the only thing that I would say is at this point, there are so many people to service. There's so many, you can, and by that I mean like so many characters. No right. longer do you have just typically solo films that are completely on their own. You are, like we saw with Doctor Strange, the recent Doctor Strange, they had to infuse multiple other characters, right, in there. One was the introduction of America Chavez. And so I feel like with Blade, it's not just because of how many, how it has to also infuse with the Disney Plus shows, it just does, like all has to be canonical,
right?
That can be a lot for anyone undertaking this. To you're not typically just making a Blade movie, you're making a Blade plus an introduction to maybe the X-Men, or I don't know, like right. Crazy, they're finding crazy ways to backdoor enter in new characters to build on new Avengers or this or that, and like eventually, because all of these have to connect. And so I do think that could hurt sometimes,
yeah.
But also Marvel, always available if you
hey, we'll punch this script up real good for you.
I'll send you my reel. I'm repped by CAA, Kevin.
Yeah, Daily Zeitgeist, Kevin. So let me know, haven't seen most of them. I haven't seen a lot of your work. So in that way, my brain is not tainted. I'm bringing original ideas because I don't know about the MCU. So think about that, Kevin.
But do you know what I mean? Like with that, they made a joke about it in She-Hulk of how many cameos that they had to have or were going to have. And I love that they made that joke. But I do feel that it... Every writer that takes on something is going to have to make this connect in the MCU in multiple ways to both the Disney Plus shows and the future films.
Right.
And so it doesn't mean that every character is going to show up, but it does mean that you're servicing multiple different storylines. I don't think that Shang-Chi had to do that too much, but obviously it was setting him up to be joining the Avengers.
Right.
And so will the next Captain America film will be introducing, and so I think maybe people don't always consider that when you're taking this on, it's not just typically a solo film, it's a solo plus who else are we introducing to them.
Because even then it's like, because wasn't Mahershala sort of like teased out at the end of, was it Eternals?
There's just a quick glimpse of him
like
there.
Just off camera, right?
Yeah.
Right. So like, it's even then it's like, okay, we're so far ahead of it. Okay, make sure he gets his little voice in there at the end. Like, woof. Nah.
Yeah, the writer, Stacey Osei-Kufour, who is best known for Watchmen and Pen 15. So not like a very talented writer, obviously. I'm just curious to know like what's going on and how it's happening and why it's not working for several of like the leaders on the project.
Right.
I just want a good Blade movie. That's all I'm asking for. Like, please figure it out. Take another year or two, whatever you need to do. But like,
please give us that for all the half people out there. Blade speaks to me. Please. And just, I need, and also just, oh man, I just need that music too. But I honestly,
the complaint that there's only two fight scenes is a little worrying for for a Blade film. Like, unless it's so fucking good, like that there, he's like, I know it only sounds like there's two fight scenes, but there's a lot. There's a lot of internal fighting that's also occurring off camera. And that is, in fact, the biggest showpiece of the film. Well, Danny, thank you so much for stopping by the Daily Zeitgeist. It's always good to see you. Where can people find you and follow you and check you out and do all that?
I am at Ms. Danny Fernandez. It's MSDANIFERNANDEZ. Please follow me on Twitter and Instagram because I guess my industry pays attention to that.
Yeah. What's a tweet or some other social media post that you've been digging on?
Oh my gosh, I had one. One was from Kid. It's at Kid Versations, like Kid Conversations. It said, okay. This is from a kid. Is chicken the animal spelled the same as chicken the food?
Oh,
and it
sweetie.
Said, my child about to be shook.
Oh, no.
And then another one. Oh, my gosh. This was the response. And it was from another mom. It said, when I told a kid I used to. Oh, from a tutor. When I told a kid I used to tutor that bacon came from pigs, he said, quote, we need to make animals that deserve to die. So it's OK to eat them.
Oh,
kids are so wild.
I like that. You could be a political consultant.
Kids are so wild. They say that.
He's thinking like a political consultant. It's like, okay, well, then we need a group that people will agree deserves to die and then go after them.
Oh, these are the things in my books? We're eating them? Oh, yeah. Okay.
And they deserve to die, right? Oh, it's not about vengeance. Any more?
Oh, you know, I'm always a wealth. Yes, since we were talking about British people, I have a British one. It was it's a Venn diagram.
Is it about the one about ants?
Oh, yeah. Did you do that one?
Yeah, we saw that one. Yeah, about the queen and taking shit back to their colony and shit.
Okay, never mind. You did it. We're on the same wavelength.
Yeah, okay.
Those are my tweets.
Great minds thinking alike. Joelle Monique, thank you so much for coming by. Where can people find you and follow you and check you out and all that?
Yeah, y'all know me. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique. It's JoelleMoniqu. I've been enjoying Mauve's Robot, otherwise known as Thorn Princess on Twitter. Strippers have been telling y'all the recession is coming, baby. We are feeling it in the clubs everywhere. You know it's bad if girls from Miami are coming to New York to work. Listen to the sex workers. They know what's going on.
Dude, there was one who had a post like 3 months ago who was like, y'all, I'm working New York with all the finance dudes. It's coming. And everyone was like, yo. And then was just talking about all it was. I started following the account because the tweet kind of blew up and was like giving like all these like economics lessons through the strip club. I was like, holy shit. Yep. There it is. Let's see some tweets that I like. First one is from Gregory Midnight Possum at @cat_Beltane tweeted, every 2 to 3 months, there's some scandal about a guy named like Dacary Dan, who I've never heard of. And I look him up and it's like Dacary Dan is an American YouTube personality. He is worth $46.3 million, $15 million of which came from becoming the spokesman for the food Almonds in 2018. Yes, that is exactly what the experience is like of reading like, yo, who the fuck is this?
Bean Dad.
Hot Girl Midsummer at Very Mimi tweeted, some of you need to try a guy named Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
And then I love Jamie Loftus replied under there, said, what if you had a consensual workplace relationship with Jesus Christ?
Oh, my God.
It would be drama. And then one more, Stone Cold Fox at Roast Malone _ tweeted, I always set 2 wake up alarms, one for the person I want to be and one for the person I am.
And, yes.
I know I felt that in my bones.
Love
you can
it.
Find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. Also, check me out on Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties, the basketball podcast with Jack. Also, 420 Day Fiance with Sophia Alexandra, where we talk 90 Day Fiance. And yeah, find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We got a Facebook fan page, website, dailyzeitgeist.com. We post episodes and the footnotes.
Footnotes.
Thank you. Where we link off to all the articles we discuss, as well as the song we are going to ride out on. Today, my comrade in Christ, we are going to be riding out on this track by Freddie Dredd, who's a Canadian like funk artist. And I heard this shit on TikTok, but it sounds this shit is hit so low, like on the low end, that it will blow the doors off your fucking car.
So if you want to do that, I challenge y'all, blast this while you pull up into your parking lot, and maybe your boss will stop fucking with you, because you will seem like you're the wrong one to fuck with today. It is called, wait, let me make sure I have, it's called Wrath. Let me just make sure I got the right one. Yep, it's called Wrath. Yeah, it's, I'm telling you, watch out. Freddie Dredd. So check this out. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Or no, actually, we'll see you later today. Tell you what's trending. We'll talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.